Good morning, everyone. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. I'm going to invite you and you who are watching via live stream, let's get a hold of our Bible. And as we do, you know, we always open with prayer before we begin to read the word. So if you need a Bible here in the chapel, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get one to you. We always enjoy the holiday times, and holiday brings in extra special guests. And this morning, I wanted to have this couple come up. We're going to open our sermon with a basic prayer, but also before they do, I want them to bring greetings. And who is that couple? None other than Pastor Tom and Cindy Bauer. Tom and Cindy, would you come up here? We wanted to say hello. Yep. Now, Tom and Cindy Bauer are the founders of Surfing the Nation, and I really didn't know them before I knew their daughter, Karis. And you always know an outstanding couple or parents when they put out amazing young people. So, Tom and Cindy, we're honored to have you here at Hope Chapel. Go ahead and bring greetings, please.
The honor is certainly ours. My most exciting thing to bring you is I just returned from Cambodia and Vietnam and Laos, and to let you know that the gospel is alive and thriving in areas that are dark and the ends of the earth. So please keep praying for us as we send out leaders to do amazing and crazy things. And then I have a really big invitation to you. Just before I left, we signed the final papers to purchase the Wahiwa Hotel, which was built in the late 30s, early 40s, so a World War II style hotel. So I want you to know we're inviting you to a World War II. But we now have 34, 38, 30 something rooms, and you're all welcome now to come and hang out with us. Be sure and bring your hammer and all other things with you when you come.
Perfect.
Please join us.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, I just wanted to say thank you so much, and I want to say a special shout out to all the seniors in the house, all right, because we're believing that you guys are going to do great things.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we just bring greetings from Hawaii, and of course, we want to invite you all there and to come and visit us and be a part of what God's doing there. So thank you, Pastor Paul Ainsley. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Tom, way to go. Would you go ahead and pray for the message?
Boy, all right, Father, we want to, let's bring you over
thank
here.
You. Yes, thank you.
Father, we want to thank you so much for Pastor Paul. We thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, just reveal your word to us. We just thank you for the application that will come with this word. Bless the reading of your word now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Cindy. Well done. Well, let's go ahead and we'll find in our Bible Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Good morning once again. Hopefully, you'll have a bulletin in your hands as well. Take a look at the back of the bulletin. Always like taking notes. I know all of you are great students of the word, and if you're watching via live stream, then you're going to see the points come up. But this is our holiday series. It's Making a Difference holiday series. And we wanted to just encourage you, if you were not able to be with us last Sunday, go ahead and take a look at our media tab and listen to last Sunday's message. Last Sunday's message, basically, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And we are taking a look at how just God's love is unconditional, but that love that we feel, that we only hear about sometimes, about his love for us, is always challenged when we're coming against life circumstances. Does God really love me? Why would he allow something like this to happen? So it's been an amazing thing. Thank you, you who responded or sent me emails, or you who addressed me on live stream. Thank you for that. Just describing that made an impact. We thank God for his word, don't we? Nothing like saying, what does God say to us? Well, I think this is an equally important message. This one is about really making sure God has a gift for us, and it's that gift is not to worry. Today's message is gifts from an open-handed God. What a great way to begin, knowing that not only is our culture about gift-giving, right? Isn't it true? Christmas time. But God is open-handed when he has things for us to give to us. He's never chintzy, never holds back. It's always important for us to know the nature of the Lord. You can never outgive God. So if you ever think he's going to hold back on you for some reason, man, let's tap into the relationship that we have with the Lord. Now, other people are limited. Heard about this woman that approached her husband some days before Christmas and said, "Honey, I just want to let you know, this Christmas I would like to have something that goes from 0 to 100 in 4 seconds. So being the cheapskate that her husband was, when Christmas came, she opened up her package and there it was, a scale. Watch out. God's more elaborate than that. Tell the person next to you what I just saw. What was that? What? Scale? We throw that out the window there in the holiday time. But we're taking a look here. It's pretty interesting. This particular passage in Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon by the greatest one who ever lived. And he's describing just ethics with regards to how the kingdom operates. And when he was done with this sermon in Matthew 7, it ends there in verse 28 and 29. Literally, the people said, "Man, isn't he just astonished?" They were astonished at the way he spoke and said he speaks as one with authority, not like the scribes. So you can imagine when we get a chance, we've got the recorded word of God that's alive and it's real. And if we apply it, it'll change and form and fashion our life and the way we approach those things in our life. So, as you know, Christmas is about gift giving. I know God has something for each of you here this morning. And statistics show that the average person at Christmas is going to spend $750. Some say, "Boy, I'll never get that high." Some said, "I already shot past that." But God has things for you, and it's pretty impressive. How many remember the old Christmas song on the 12 days of Christmas, "My True Love Gave to Me"? Remember that? And about how much just things cost a little bit more and that the cost of living increases. They said that the 12 days of Christmas to give out those same gifts would average out over $96,000. Probably the most expensive are those basically the whopping nine ladies dancing at $6,900. So you can imagine how that is. But God has things for us. And one of them is the aspect of not worrying. A carefree life. Let's take a look at our first point, the gift of carefree living. Let me read. I'm in verse 25 of Matthew 6. Are you with me on this? Can you see that very clearly? "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow? They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." So it's interesting when we take a look here at the passage. Jesus is saying, verse 25, the gift of carefree living, because first of all, he just says, don't worry. You mention here three times he's saying, don't worry. Verse 25 again, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry." Now, how many know if God says, don't do something, and you do it, we call that a sin? Say, "I'm going to tell you, don't worry." Well, hey, it's natural for us to. My family, we are pros at worrying. I come from a long line of worries. My grandmother was worried. My mom stressed out over everything. I inherited some of those genes. It's just something we do. We call it nagging. "Honey, if you don't get this right," and it's just terrible. But Jesus says, do not worry. And it's interesting to note here because in that element of worry literally in the Greek means split or be divided. You're divided in your loyalty. You're divided in your determination. And so it's the same approach in James 1, verse 8, where the scripture says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you worry, you and I would be a very unstable person. Say one thing out of our mouths, but man, we completely come unraveled when we're just not sure what is about to help us in any way. And Jesus is saying, aren't you of more value than they, O you of little faith? Twice he says, O you of little faith. I like to say dinky faith. It's still there. We're just kind of like dinky. O you of dinky faith. Go ahead and turn to somebody and say, are you a dinky faith person? It's important. Dinky faith. Oh, you of dinky faith. Now, in verse 25, starts off saying, therefore I say to you. Now, you and I know we've studied the scriptures long enough. Whenever you have a therefore, it always just couples in with what he's talking about before. The therefore is therefore something. And in verse 24, he's talking about serving two gods. Verse 24, literally saying you have the choice of serving God or you have the choice of serving wealth or mammon. He literally says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon or God and wealth. Now, it's important for us to recognize that if all of you who are out there are listening to me saying, if I just land the right job, if I just have this amount in my income bracket, if that is the case somewhere along the line, you might be tricked or tempted to start serving the god of mammon or wealth. Because money has godlike qualities, but it's not God. It's money comes along. If you have enough in your bank, you'll be secure. Well, listen, only God can provide security. Money will whisper to you and me that if you have enough money, you can make certain decisions with your future. Well, listen, God holds the future. But oftentimes we're thinking, well, money's going to decide and determine for me. You who are wondering what kind of gifts to provide, sometimes money could even say you can't afford something because you don't have enough of it. Well, God's the one that says, I'll provide. Why don't you ask me? It goes this way. A little child says, Daddy, can I have a bike for Christmas? Well, I'm sorry, sweetie. We can't afford it this year. Well, wouldn't it be great if the dad just even prayed about it? You know, my son really wants a bike. And money's saying we can't afford it. But God, you're greater. That's why you can't serve two gods. You have to kind of whittle it down and say, you're going to go with God all the way, or are you going to go with money that has godlike qualities but is not God? Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Someone put a poll out there, some of the highest brackets of things that people worry about, economics, money, areas of finances all across the board, basically areas of family issues as well, the future, possibility of war in the future. These things worry people. And somebody says that worry is what you go and grab from the future so that you can worry about it today. Isn't that terrible? Why worry about something that may not happen? University of Wisconsin did a poll, and they studied this, and basically 40% of what people worry about never happens. What a waste of time. 30% of what people worry about are things from their past. They can't even do anything about it. Have you ever thought, I sound like a knucklehead when I said that? And you just kind of replay the tape all week long. I should have never said that. No, don't do that to yourself. Also, 12%, that goes on, says, are just things they worry about because people criticize them. Or that time, it's always untrue when people criticize you. And finally, 10% of what we worry about is always health. And 8% of what we worry about literally can come true, legitimate. But I like Proverbs 14, verse 30, where it says, a relaxed attitude lengthens life. So isn't it nice when the Lord says, I want to just, a carefree life is what? Is not to worry. Do not worry. Be careful. And it always seems to be external things. Jesus talking about what you wear, what you eat, what you put on, kind of a thing, shelter. And that's usually what we always kind of fashion ourselves, things that are exterior. Now, let me just show you a couple of verses that I've used to really set me free from worry. It's always like basing it on the Word of God. So here's a gift to you. Let's take a look at 2, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We've been there, and we're going to the right. If you're in Matthew, let's move on through the Gospels. Let's go to Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now let's take a look at it just for a moment. It's good to see the word. It says, be anxious for nothing. We could also use worry about nothing. The NIV says, no anxiety over anything. Most people stress over, they have anxiety disorders. The majority, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety is the most common health issue. Anxiety. So here we are, Christmas, and people start getting worried. They really do strain over things over Christmas. What should I buy? They worry about what will that person think when I don't buy them anything? Will they be upset if I return it? I mean, it's and so our scripture in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. So let's just put it this way. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Now, it's really, really powerful when you can just pray effectively without having anxiety and dread be the motivator in your prayer. Now, that'll get you on your knees. I'm so stressed out. I gotta pray. But God's word says the first thing you do, do not worry. Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. If I worry, am I violating Scripture? So now I'm not only worrying, probably the Holy Spirit's giving me a body check saying you shouldn't go there. Because somebody says that worry is low-grade atheism. You really don't think God exists, and he's definitely not going to be a part of your life on this one. So that's why the Lord's so clear saying, do not worry. So what do we do with worry? Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Well, if you just take a look, let's go one more verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Most of us are aware of 1 Peter 5, 7. We should have it memorized. Probably have it near the daily newspaper read, but it literally says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? Let's try it again. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Again, that word care can be translated anxiety, can be worry. NIV says, casting all your anxieties to him. Casting all your anxieties. Now, it does not say, cast your prayer list to him. Saying, get rid of the emotional, crippling worry that has you so isolated and tense, give it to him. Because he's the one that's caring for you. Cast that to him. How does that look like? What does that look like? Well, all of a sudden you start getting a little bit worried, anxious. It's like, Lord, this is how it rolls. I want to, before I even pray, remember, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and the peace of God shall come upon you. Lord, even before I pray about this, I'm casting this anxiety to you. Lord, take it in Jesus' name. Worry, go. Worry, go. Have you ever given anything to God? Boy, that's a good one to give him. start playing with mind and imagination. I mean, people really worry about things. Health, children's welfare, future state of your retirement income. Get rid of the anxiety, and it's amazing how all of a sudden the peace of God starts to come. And then you can really pray pretty effectively. All of a sudden you say, wow, I sense the presence of God in this room. I'm feeling so hopeful, and the power of the Lord is sustaining me right now. It's a great way to pray. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Now, when I do that, this is how usually my day rolls out. It's always at night, in the middle of the night. I don't know how that is when we're just kind of relaxing, you know, how, and then some worrisome thought comes into focus, usually about 2 in the morning. Don't call me either. I don't want to pick your worry up. But, and I've just cast my anxious thoughts about this to the Lord, and then it comes back, and I start dwelling on it again. And then you could actually start running with it and stay awake for the next 2-3 hours. Or you do what I do, roll out of bed, get on your knees. Lord, I know I just cast this anxious thought to you, and devil, you're a liar. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Amen. God is working on this. Well, I'm going to. The Lord says, therefore, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. It's a real gift he has for us. He's an open-handed God. He really anticipates you trusting him and believing in him. You could also just go on some of the websites that have addicted to worry website. Have you ever checked that out? Some people write out what they worry about, and it somehow helps them. And some of it's humorous, let me just tell you, because they worry about things. Here's 3 of them. Can I just kind of throw it out there? One comes along and says, I worry that when my coworkers win the lottery pool and I don't join in, that they'll all quit and I have to do their jobs too. One person wrote in and says, I worry that my cat will sit on my face while I'm sleeping and I'll suffocate. Well, get rid of the cat. You know, I'm sure that's pretty easy for me to say. Third one, I worry that one day they're going to stop making chocolate and I'll starve to death. I don't know if those are for real or not, but you never know. I mean, that's probably why they have those sites up, because you don't want to tell your closest friend something like that. But you can always tell a person that's a steward of God's things, or a manager, I should say, a steward, manager, or an owner. When you feel you own everything, you start to stress out over stuff. But if you ever manage something, you know you just dial up the owner. It's like living in an apartment. Some people should just live in apartments. Great. Plumbing goes south, you just dial up the owner. But if you own that baby, you are responsible. Same with your own life. God says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of you. Oh, you of dinky faith. Turn to the person and say, dinky faith. Are you a dinky faith person? Not me, boy. I feel my faith rising here. How about number 2, the gift of gracious provision? So Jesus goes on back at Matthew 6, and he talks about, letter A, compared to lower creation. Look at verse 6. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. For yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, I like the phrase, your heavenly Father. Can you see that? I've highlighted that. You got to catch that. Your heavenly Father. Next time you see the birdies in your front yard or the backyard, you just tell those birds, I know God takes care of you, but you're only creatures he created. I am a child of God. My heavenly Father takes care of me. Now, if anybody hears you say that, they're going to think you're off. But it's true. It's true. Your heavenly Father, aren't you more value than they? And it goes on, and letter B, compared to other people. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, there's that title again, knows that you need all these things. See, that's what Gentiles, and the word Gentiles literally means, it's ethnos in the Greek. It literally means all people groups, every person that's not a believer. That's what unbelievers worry about, those things. But Christians don't. At least we shouldn't. But unbelievers do. We strain over things that we should not worry about. Because the Lord's asked us, please don't worry about this. Your Heavenly Father will supply it. He'll take, well, what do I do with this worry? I've been raised a worry ward. I've always worried. Well, give it to God. Lord, I'm giving this emotional anxiety of stress and worry. Take that feeling away. You know he does. It's amazing. It's amazing. Lord, I want your peace. So compared to other people, man, it's pretty powerful. Let's test your memory. What were you all worried about this time last year? Very few of you remember. I don't think anybody raised their hand. Well, good for you. Isn't it easy to forget and move on with life? Glory to God. But it is important for us to recognize that. And then letter C, proportional to vertical focus. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. One thing we do know, dear friends of Hope Chapel and our guests, is that we know the kingdom is all about getting people one to Jesus Christ and have the gift of eternal life. That's a great gift. Seek first the kingdom of God. What should I be about? Man, presenting somebody the pure love of God by telling them about God's love on the cross. That's kingdom business. There are people waiting. Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. There it is. We're all going to earn a wage of pay here in the state of California. That's man's laws. God's law is much more sure that if we live in sin, then die in sin, we're going to earn something too. It's called the wage of death. That same verse says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we give that gift to somebody? It's certainly within our means. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Tell somebody, I've got a gift and it's from God. You don't worry about what people will think about you. How they may or may not malign you. They'll probably really thank you for coming forward because they knew you go to church on Sunday. I was wondering when you're going to tell me about Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Number three, the gift of supervised trouble. That's a real gift too. God will always be with you. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What do I mean by that, Grace? You know, it's amazing how the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. God will come and take care of you today. Do not worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about tomorrow. That's important. There's only 2 days scripturally. 2 days, the Bible says, keep mindful of. One of those days is today. Let's do your thing today. Go with God today. There's enough going on today that there's grace for you today. The second day is the day, the coming of the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? God says, keep that in the back of your focus, because there'll be a day. There'll be a day God calls you home, or we'll all be in the rapture. Today or the day of the Lord. Well, what a great gift God's given to us. A peace, certainly a carefree life. Doesn't mean free from challenges. Nobody wants to go from miracle to miracle, if that's true. Saying, well, I'd like miracles. But if you're going from miracle to miracle, that means you're going from crises to crises. Wouldn't you just love to just say, man, I can bring it to God anytime. Be a woman or a man of peace and just say, Lord, thank you. No worry here. Because I'm getting to be bigger than a dinky faith. I'm up to a mustard seed right now. I'm doing pretty good. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do this right now? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. As we close our eyes and just express our gratitude for you helping us, even in our emotional state, because you love us so. You who did not give up on us, and you who gave your only begotten Son, how much more so will you freely give us all things? Lord, I pray for my friends in this room and those who are watching. Lord, give them the gift of a carefree life. Give them a gift that motivates others to say, I want to be just like you. Peaceful life, content life, life filled with joy. And if there's anyone here right now who's listening to my voice with eyes still closed and you know you need to swing your whole life over to Jesus Christ, you're really not fully in. You know, that straddler. Or maybe you are here and you're not even sure why you're here, but right now is the reason. And you're ready to give your life to Jesus and experience this carefree life. It's one where God, your Heavenly Father, will take care of you in profound ways. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you're ready to do that, would you just raise your hand up? Say, Pastor Paul, that's me. Or you're ready to give your life back to him and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus again. Would you go ahead and put your hand up and bring it right back down? Okay, thank you. Go ahead and put it down. Anyone else? The Lord knows our heart, does he not? Sometimes like, I'm not ready. It means I have to give up something. But you just know the Lord in his graciousness has so much more for you. You just know that tug. Love that element of God's faithfulness and his love. Come away with me, my child. I've got so much more for you. Is there anyone else that just says, I want to surrender my life fully to the Lord? Okay? All right. For the sake of these two hands, let's go ahead and just pray together. Possibly you who are watching via live stream and felt distant from gathering with other Christians, and we're with you right now in spirit. We look forward to the day, even this holiday, that you join us. But let's pray this prayer together out loud. Prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you died on the cross and rose to life again for me. And right now, dear Lord, I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. Dear Jesus, I want you to lead my life and to set me free to serve you fully. No restrictions. And I trust you now, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Can we just thank the Lord for at least those two hands? Maybe you're also here too. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.